It's Testimony Sunday. And I just want to remind you about the ABCs of testimony. If you have a testimony that would encourage, you think would encourage us, it should be something that you're experiencing in your own life, authentic to you. Not a testimony of someone else that you've heard about, because there's lots of those out there, but something that is directly affecting you. That's the A. The B is to be brief, because we want to get as many testimonies in as we can. And the C is for it to be Christ-centered and glorifying to Christ. So those are the three parameters around which we're going to do this. I'm going to invite you, if you have a testimony or think you have a testimony, to come and sit at the front here. I mean, I'll take the first person who has one to come right up here, but then if you have one, as people are talking, you might get, remind you of something, inspired, that's right. Come and sit here, and I will come and we'll fit you in. Okay, so who would like to go first? I know that's always a bit of a scary one. Come on, I know you're out there. I know once somebody goes, it'll be like, okay, enough. Yay, Jaden. Yay, thank you.
This one's short.
That's okay.
No. Okay, this is pretty short, but it happened recently. I wasn't going to do it, but then Abby looked at me and I was like, I already had it on my heart, so I think I'm supposed to share it. Happy Ian?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, I think God has immensely financially provided for me and for Julia in our marriage, and I just feel so blessed. And even when I'm sitting in that blessing and just feeling so grateful, there are times when I think my fleshly heart is like, oh my goodness, money still feels tight, or I'm worried about the future and I'm worried about financial constraints moving forward as I look into where our life is going. We're still students and all of that. And basically what I'm trying to say is despite the massive, massive, massive provisions that God has given us over the years, I still, while sitting in that provision, I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't want to spend on this because we need to be really, really frugal. And I think this happened really recently, maybe a week or two ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. It was last week, because it was during Easter, right? So God gave his amazing gift of his son dying for us. And during the week before, I had been really feeling like I need to be financially constrained. And it feels bad to say no to getting certain things that we need. But it just all piles up and you're bills and rent, all these things are due, you're starting to feel overwhelmed. And in that moment, I opened my phone, and over the next day, somebody randomly sends me $1,000. And then somebody sends me another e-transfer for something. And I'm like, what the heck? Why are people sending me money? What's going on? And they're an Easter gift or something. And it's from a guy that's not even Christian, I'm pretty sure. And I'm like, God, you're seriously trying to teach me something here. Isn't that just amazing? Where in the moment I'm feeling financially constrained, I'm feeling worried, I'm feeling I know I'm provided for, God, I know I have to have faith in you, but still my fleshly heart is worried and stressed, and these are not things of Jesus, right? These are other things speaking into my life, trying to get in the way of the truth, which is that we're supposed to put our complete and ultimate trust and faith in God. And then when the faith is favoring, I felt even more blessed. I almost wanted to cry in the moment, because I'm God, despite me not trusting you, despite everything you have done for me and where I am in life, you still give me more. You still have more blessings. You still have more to provide. You're in that moment, I'm Jesus is looking at me. It's Jaden, you're still failing, but I'm still gonna, my blessings are just abundant, and my cup is running over, and I'm just gonna flow into you. And I don't know, I just felt sharing that. And I just want us all to remember, if there's anybody out there who is struggling and feeling worry and feeling stress in their lives, really give it to God. He is good. He will take your burdens. He's the Father. And in the Bible, it talks about how, even God makes sure the birds are fed. And we're made in his image. Wouldn't he make sure we're fed as well? So, yeah, that's my little testimony.
Thank you. you in that place?
Sure.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
He's just gonna pray for those of you who maybe have a financial need. If you do, put your hands up. Like, just hold your hands out. And thank you, Jane.
Okay. Father God, we just want to lift our finances up to you. We want to be giving, and so we want to be gracious with others and just be abundantly giving as Christians. And Father, for people in the congregation, for friends, for family, for people in our lives who are experiencing financial constraints, Father, can you just help us give that to you? Can we surrender? Can we surrender our finances to you? And can we abide in you and truly look to you and trust you in our walk with you? Father, you will provide. God, I pray that you would just stir people's hearts who either are right now living in abundance and are maybe being called to give, or people that aren't living in abundance and are just open their hearts to receive your blessings and to look at you with faith and trust that you will truly provide, Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Yeah. Thanks, Jane. That was awesome. Thank you. All right, guys. There's nobody sitting in my front row here. Are you coming up? Are you? No? Okay. All right. So I'm gonna share a testimony, Anyway, I have been a Christian all my life since I was a wee little girl, grew up in a Christian home. And when I was a little girl, I couldn't wait to tell people about Jesus. I went around the neighborhood, my sister and I, and I think everybody got saved. All the kids got saved on our block. We had DVBS in our backyard, and it was like, that was then. And then I grew up, and it started to get harder to talk to people about Jesus. So this past fall, we did a leadership cohort here in the church. A bunch of us leaders got together and we formed huddles. And the idea was we were to think about, do we want to grow closer to Jesus? Like, do we want to develop that relationship? Do we want to develop the relationship with our brothers and sisters? Or is it with the outside world, the lost, that we want to increase and grow and be held accountable in? And I chose that one because that is always the one that gets me, because I think of myself as a little girl and I think of myself now, and there's a discrepancy there. So as we were praying in my huddle, one of my huddle mates, Heather Dunn actually, gave me a great question. She says, you know, when you go into a group of people, just ask Holy Spirit to have someone ask you the right question. Like, just have someone ask you the right question. And I thought, oh, well, I can do that. That's pretty easy. So I did that. So my world is surrounded with Christians most of the time. I walk with a lot of you guys. I have grandkids that I take care of that are Christians. My world is Christians. But the one part of my world that is not is my soccer mates. I play soccer twice a week. And most of them, I'm going to say 99% of them, maybe all of them, are not saved and don't even really have, I think, any kind of history or past in the church. So anyway, I went out. I've been going out. As I go into my group of soccer ladies, I've been asking and praying for that question. Holy Spirit, send someone to ask me the right question. And every time, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, sorry, I was going to say ladies because I'm used to talking to ladies. Every time somebody has actually singled me out, and it's never been, the question has never been, what must I do to be saved? Which is what that would be awesome. But it's always been an interesting question that's inspired conversation and more relationship and some really interesting things. So I just want to encourage you to press in to those areas that might be uncomfortable for you, whether it's that or something different. Press in, because God is faithful, and I'm seeing fruit start to come. Well, not the fruit as in people saved, but fruit as in conversations, and relationship development. So that's my testimony. Thank you, God. Yay! Thanks, Elijah.
Hello there, everybody. for those of you that don't know me, my name is Elijah. I'm an UBC student in music education. I play the trombone. It's a pretty good instrument for me, isn't it? Long arms and everything, so it's good. But yeah, I grew up in a place called Abbotsford, not too far from here. but yeah, I've been a Christian all my life, baptized at the age of 12. God is just, he's been part of my life for, as long as I can remember. He's always been there to, just hold on to me in times of trouble. About 5 years ago, I lost my mother to cancer, and it really affected my faith and just like it was a tough time for sure to be a Christian and to really trust what God was doing in my life. But throughout all that, I could just tell he was holding on to me just so tight, would not let me go, no matter how much I resisted. And fast forward a few years, kind of ever since then, I've been slowly but surely pursuing my relationship with the Lord. And kind of this year, I kind of took a step back and I was like, okay, what's something I really need to focus on is, just really coming to Jesus and going into His Word. I'm not a big reader, guys, and it's hard sometimes. Just really being in His Word has really helped me to. Come to Him with all of my troubles. Praise the Lord. Most times He's the first thing that comes to my head when I'm in a time of trouble. I've suffered quite a bit with anxiety and things like that, and to really just come to Him in those moments and just you are my God and you will deliver me through this. However much the enemy tries to attack me, because I know he does, that the Lord is there and He will deliver me from those moments. And so, I just want that to be an encouragement to you all that He is faithful and He will be there for you in times of trouble. And thank you all for letting me share.
I'm just going to pray for Elijah. God, thank you for Elijah. Thank you for the way he has disciplined himself to read your word and come to you, Lord. I pray that you would meet him there. I pray that your strength and your power would flow through the word into him, Lord. I pray that your peace would descend on him like a dove, Lord, and fill him heart, mind, and soul, body, God, that you would bless him as he continues to pursue you. Give him more hunger and thirst for you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Thanks for sharing. Paul.
Hi. I'm Paul. So I work as a pastor at UBC, and I'm a minister to students there. We equip students to learn how to live out their faith so that when they graduate, they're able to reach the world. It's very missional, very strategic. It's awesome, and I love it. I've been doing it since 2020, I've also been studying at Regent College with my MDiv, and I'm gonna graduate, yay! So, I just wanted to share this testimony that Christ has been so faithful to me through just standing up and saying yes and bringing my whole broken and perfect self. One of the things that I've learned through my journey in my MDiv and in ministry is that growing in Christian maturity means that you learn you need more mercy and not less. And yeah, there we go. There's a verse I felt compelled to share in Colossians 3, verse 3, where Paul says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ." And for me, the reassurance of that promise is that mysteriously we can just trust and sit back and participate and walk with him. And I also wanted to thank this church for being a pretty stable home for me to find belonging, acceptance, provision, prayer, people to be with, care for, eat with. And yeah, it's been a really stable and safe ground for me to continue to build my life in Christ, in ministry and school. And yeah, so I'll be around for sure for at least a couple more years as I continue to serve. And I just wanted to thank you and to celebrate together this transition in my life.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks.
Ms. Holly. So I wasn't going to come up, and then all the testimonies were kind of like, hey, by the way, you should go up. Ugh. So here I am. If you don't know who I am, my name is Holly. I've been here since I was in utero, literally, so I've been here a while. When I'm not working as the worship coordinator for this church, I work as a art teacher at a high school in New Westminster. So I'm really fortunate to and thankful to work at a Christian school. And this past spring break, I was able to take a group of 19 teenagers to Kampala, Uganda, which turned out to be the biggest group that we've had for any outreach program for spring break in the history of the school, so that was really cool. But I've never done anything like that, and I was terrified. my history with Uganda goes back about 12 years, and the first time I went there, I had a real sense that was going to be a place that I would be able to rest in, and also that a place that God had kind of prepared already, even though I hadn't been there before. And so over the years, I'd had lots of ideas about what that could look like, me going there, kinds of stuff that I'd be interested in being a part of. And when I had asked my school a couple of years ago if that would be something that might be possible, I didn't expect a yes for a variety of reasons. But it took a little bit of convincing on some of the teachers' parts, along with myself, to get them to agree. And then we ended up having this massive group that was going over. And there was a lot of things along the way that I was really excited about, not just for these kids that I love and have taken care of for so long in school to actually see a part of my life, but also for them to be transformed and have their faith built and all of that stuff. But the enemy is really good at getting in where you thought you were fine and making you feel like crap. And I remember this one chapel where at the school there was a group sharing, and the enemy was just like, why are you even bothering? Like, why are you trying? This is so stupid. Like, there's no way that it's gonna be successful. There's no way that you can do this. Like, you're just you. You can't, like, you get so nervous around this, and you think you're going to be able to lead this group of students. No, that's not going to happen. And there's going to be so many issues, and, including like me thinking about what happens with the planes and all that stuff, and because we were going through Turkey, so all of this, and I gave into that, like I listened to it, and felt very discouraged for a long time, and felt like there was no point in trying or even praying into what I knew God had already started all those years ago. And so I continued doing what I was supposed to do. I didn't let anybody know how I was feeling, but I continued to do what I was supposed to do in terms of prepping and all that stuff. And then we went, and a whole pile of things that I knew were probably going to go wrong went wrong. I mean, it's what happens with large groups. but the faithfulness that I saw from that trip, God bringing to fruition what he had spoken over me so many years ago, and also seeing the connections between the kids themselves, because they had nothing in common. Like, this was the most motley crew of teenagers you could ever bring together. Seeing Jesus's heart for them, seeing their softening, seeing the humility that came as a result of being shocked about certain things, and then listening to some of the testimonies that the organizations had for us when I was talking to them and saying goodbye and all this stuff. It really hit my heart that God is the one who's in charge of stuff, not me. And if he has given me a dream, or if he has given me the vision for something, he's the one that does it. I don't have to worry about that. I got to do my part, but that's not something that I have to try to muscle together, because he's got it. He's the one who gave it to me, and he's the one who's going to deal with it. And just as I was listening to the testimonies, and God's like, come on, you can do this, Holly. I just felt like this reminder that obedience is not something we do once. Obedience is something that is again and again and again and again and again. Just because you're obedient to what God told you yesterday doesn't mean that you're escaping his obedience today. And so I was just really reminded of that. The fact that with obedience brings blessing. It's not that we are obedient so that we're blessed, or that so that God is faithful to us, but that is that relationship aspect of our walk with Christ, that we go, okay, let's do this. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I trust you. And so, so I just wanted to encourage anybody who has dreams that seem ridiculous, God can do it, because he's big enough. So, yeah.
Pray for people?
Sure. All right, so let's pray. I'm going to pray for myself, too. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that what you sow into us never returns void and empty. And I just pray that you would give us all the gift of faith. You say that even faith the size of a mustard seed means something. And so I just pray that that you would give us that mustard seed faith, that it would bloom into gigantic bushes of fields of faith, God, that we would trust you, and that we would trust you enough to dream big as well, that you would give us dreams, but God, that we would also ask for those dreams, that we wouldn't put a cap on your blessing for the world, on your blessing in our lives, and on your ability to transform us into who you see us to be, not who we see ourselves. So God, I thank you for what you have already done and what you are continuing to do. And I just pray that that you would give us that courage to be able to surrender to you and to trust you with everything and be obedient. Amen.
Thanks, Ollie. Just in line with that and obedience, and even if you disobey, and we all do, we miss it, or we don't hear, or we don't do what we hear, doesn't mean we're out, right? God's right there, and he restores, and you have another chance, because he's going to ask you to do something else. So just be encouraged. Keep listening and keep doing, and when you blow it, tell him you've blown it, confess it, and move on. He doesn't waste anything, and he is working on your behalf always. Okay, we're going to have Tim as our final testimony, and then we'll continue.
Hey, my name is Tim, as Monica said, and I didn't really plan on sharing, so this is going to be hopefully coherent. But about a year ago, my grandpa got into an accident where he was driving his car and drove into a house. And that set off a big chain of events with things in my family, really revealing some things of like issues with his mental health and having to see like what's going on with my grandma and like having to change things with their house and housing situation and things with the rest of my family. And it's been quite a difficult year for me in that. I think the biggest thing that happened throughout the year is that it really revealed some hardness in my heart that I had towards my family. I think that, I grew up very separated from the things that were going on with the tension in my family, and kind of throughout this year, a lot of that brokenness that's been in my family has kind of been revealing itself and in new ways. And for me, kind of seeing this whole situation, I was kind of like wanting to be very removed from it. It was nice that everything was happening on the island and I was in Vancouver, so I could kind of like separate it out. But I think God's been really working on my heart throughout this year in that. I think as I've gone through and talking with people, praying, and just kind of giving up this whole situation to God, I think that he's been softening my heart. Where I would go over to Victoria and be like, okay, this is going to be exhausting, this is not what I'm looking forward to, I think God's been really changing my heart posture into a place of joy and into a place of care and peace. And I think that really came out a lot more this last weekend. So over Easter weekend, I went over, I was kind of initially a little bit expecting like, okay, I don't know what's coming in, but God, this weekend, I will give into your hands. And I think this was like one of the first times that I've been able to come back to Victoria over this past year and actually feel a sense of joy coming back and seeing the ways that like relationships in my family have, that were kind of broken and fractured in places, are being restored. And I can really only attribute that to God in the prayers that have been given to that. And even like in this, like my grandpa has been on antipsychotic medicine for the past year, and this is the first time that I feel like I'm actually seeing his personality come back and seeing like the actual like joy that it is to be with them. And I'm so thankful for what God's been doing in my family, and there's still so much more to do and so much to figure out, but now when I think about it, I really come back to a place of hope. And that's been very encouraging over this past year. So I just wanted to share that, you know, God still works in the places of brokenness in families, which also I know can be quite a difficult place, and especially when there's been years and years of hurt and pain. Still knowing that God still cares and still loves. So, yeah. Father God, thank you so much for all that you do. Lord, all the care that and love that you have for us. Lord, that you see our situations. Lord, you see our families. Lord, you see the broken things in this world, Lord. And God, you do not leave those behind. Lord, you see them all. And Lord, you want to bring your love and you want to bring your restoration to those places. God, I pray that you would continue to give all of us hope in those places. Lord, for those who are experiencing brokenness in their families, God, Lord, would you provide hope? Would you provide restoration? Yep. God, we pray that, would you work in miracles in ways that we never could? Lord, all the situations that we find ourselves, Lord, that you care so deeply about, would your presence be near? Lord, we just pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Tim. I hope you've been encouraged this morning. I have.